Gwyneth Wint, and I'm delighted to welcome you to the Afrikaba radio show. Over the weeks and months to come, you will hear a showcase of world music artists from Africa and the Caribbean and across the globe. On today's show, we bring you music from the Gambia, Cape Verde, Mali, Belize, and the UK. We open today with Jarabi, performed by Sona Jabate from her album Fasia. Jarabi is a Mandinka word that means love. Not love in the romantic sense that we use here in the West, but the love of country, culture, and heritage. Sona dedicated this album to her grandparents. Sona is amongst Africa's leading up-and-coming world music artists and the first female professional choral player to come from a griot family. We'll hear more about the griot tradition later in today's show. Our next stop is to an island nestled in an archipelago, hard to say that word, of 10 islands in the Atlantic Ocean called Cape Verde. They lay about 350 miles off the West African coast, in line with Senegal, Gambia, Mauritania, and Mali. The official language is Portuguese, but they speak Cape Verdean Creole. Although poor in natural resources and there are more Cape Verdeans living off-island than at home, it has a reputation for having created a very stable economic and political environment. The singer we're about to hear, Myra Andrand, was actually born in Havana, Cuba, to Cape Verdean diplomats. She's often been praised for her modern interpretations of the traditional Cape Verdean Mona music. Here is Myra Andrand.
Cantar uma democracia, mas estava surpreendido. Maturo já sei na claro, nosso turno vira sabido. Cadungo se mania, florodondo vira quadrado. Cadungo se teoria, porazum pende de cilado. Cadungo se mania, florodondo vira quadrado. Cadungo se teoria. Corazão tende de se lado, Imanel vira mambia, de lobo vira chivinho, de flano tá fazer magia, da pogrogo tá vira vinho, mentira pão de cada dia, verdade que só tá contado, não soro vira só fingido, o converso de demagogia. Vira, vira simplesmente, conselho vira catovilho, tudo é água na bala e frado, é realidade de hoje em dia. Maioria só todo contente, com a vontade na democracia. Flado, placa, tem semente, oh, depois se sabe, morre canada. Inglês, pento, macichão, São Francisco vira maçã. Arrigo se compadre, mas já esquecer do Pepe Lope. Para buscar o meu Diogo Gomes, ressuscitar o meu Craveiro Lope. Cada concheiro Inácia Gomes, ali vem tempo de estar o meu nacho. Na vira assim uma juiz de menino, quem quis junta grita baixo. Cabeça que já perdido, maioria só tudo contente. Na democracia, Flávio Blanca tem semente, hoje você sabe, morre canada. Inglês bem tomacitão, São Francisco vira maçade. Creio já nós conhecemos, marido se compadre, mas já esquecer o Pepe Lope. Para buscar o Diogo Gomes, ressuscitar o Craveiro Lope. Cata concheiro Inácia Gomes, ali vem tempo de estar no nacho. Pra vir assim um juiz de menino, quem diz junta grita baixo. Cabeça que já perdetinho, cabeça que já perdetinho, e cabeça que já perdetinho, cabeça que já perdetinho, cabeça que já perdetinho. Thank you.
leaving from Cape Verde, we're heading to Mali, described as one of the hottest places on the planet, the largest country in Africa, and the 24th largest in the world. Have you heard of Timbuktu? Well, that's where it is. Here is Habib Kouate with Bola Mala. Mali is very diverse, ethnically as well as musically. Mali, in fact, was one of the first African empires and was extremely wealthy. We're leaving Mali now and heading in a southerly direction and slightly east around the Gulf of Guinea to Nigeria. Nigeria is Africa's biggest oil producer. It accounts for 70% of the government's income. The capital is Abuja, and Lagos is its most cosmopolitan city, with a large number of Americans, Lebanese, Europeans, and Asians living and working there. The Nigerian film industry, known as Nollywood, has grown to become the second largest in the world in terms of output, with the Indian Bollywood film industry as the first. Have you ever heard of the Nigerian music legend Fela Kuti? Fela Kuti was a controversial figure. Bigger than Bob Marley, Fela was a charismatic leader, musician, composer, human rights activist, and so much more. Fela was the pioneer of Afrobeat music, which is a fusion of funk, jazz, Nigerian highlife, psychedelic rock, layered over traditional African rhythms and chants. Many of Fela's songs were longer than 30 minutes duration, even up to an hour. In a one-hour show, we don't have time to play much of Fela's music, but here's a taste.
Let's start what we have come into the room to do. Right, here goes. One, two, three. Thank you. coming. My son, to me, your sheriff, to me, oh.
Thank you. Cristina Loquito. Grupo Loquito, visita tu topo. Qué bonita Tobinda Loquito. Visita tu topo, visita Loquito. Ae, ae, Loquito, Loquito. Ya está Tobinda, va a danzar a solo. Grupo Loquito, grupo Quitopo.
The show is sponsored by Mama Wint Gourmet Jamaican Food. Find us on Sundays from 10 to 2 at the Open Studio Art Market, Old Inglewood Road in Inglewood, Florida.
You are listening to Africaba Radio on WKDW 97.5 FM, Real Community Radio, located in Northport, Florida.
My name is Gwyneth Wint. You're listening to Africaba Radio. I'm speaking with Derek Johnson, a cultural historian, producer, musician, and a creative genius. He's working on a book that uses the music industry as a way to talk about life and all the interconnections of life. Derek is currently in the UK. He just came back from a tour in Budapest. He's kindly waited up to speak with us. Derek, tell me a bit about yourself.
About myself? Well, I'm not sure about the creative genius part, but I'd agree with some of what you said there. Plus a composer. I think that's what I'm mostly passionate about, composing, you know, more than playing, possibly. So I grew up in London, mm-hmm. and with all the sounds that you have in London, I've allowed that to influence my work, and I'm still doing it after 30 years.
You've played with so many musicians. I know you've worked with people across all genres of music. You've worked with pop, soul, African musicians. You've worked with jazz. You've worked a lot with reggae. Today, the show has more of a focus on African music. What would you like the audience to know about that?
African music is a big subject coming from a massive continent, 55 countries. Hard to really pinpoint anything in particular, but one thing that's uniform across Africa that I've found and the music that's created there is this idea that music is more than entertainment and it serves all aspects of life. And I find that fascinating because the expression is different because of that.
You brought up something that I think is really important to start with, to be aware that people often talk about Africa as though it's one country, when it's actually, like you said, a continent. There are lots of countries with lots of different sounds. There are some similarities, but lots of different languages, yeah. Lots of different people. How many languages did you say there are, Derek?
It's hard to say. People aren't quite sure, but it's been in the region of 2,000 languages, right. Not dialect, languages,
right.
In Africa, across 55 countries.
55 countries? Usually there are 54 that are recognised.
Well, internationally recognised, but I don't know if we should go by those rules. There's a country called Somaliland. To me, that's its own country, own government, own national anthem, own types of people. It was recognised when the Italians ran it. It was recognised when the English ran it. And they run it themselves, and it's not recognised. So it's far another turn to recognisable country. I'm going to speak generally. Obviously, it's different in different places, but generally speaking, because music is more than entertainment, this is a really important thing. Musicians and artists are considered part of the fabric of the growth of a society. So you are granted all kinds of privileges as a great musician or singer or artist because you serve. You serve. You don't just entertain.
And how does that come across in normal day-to-day life?
Normal day-to-day life, it means that you are integral to the various ceremonies that are very important to African culture, whether they're rites of passage, marriage, birth, different stages in people's lives. There's always music present at these ceremonies. And they're so interconnected to the point where in some cultures, they don't even have a word for music. Music is just a part of life.
I did actually try looking the word music up in Mandinka and I couldn't actually find it. So that was new.
Yeah, you won't find it. You won't find that word in Mandinka. It's very strange to call yourself a musician in that culture, one of the oldest cultures in Africa in terms of the creative culture that as we understand it. There is no word for it.
How would people refer to themselves then? If somebody said, what do you do? How would somebody refer to themselves?
Well, you'd refer to yourself, it's not so much what you do, it's what is your contribution? And your contribution will be associated with all these different aspects of life. So there isn't a singular word for you because you are an integral part of the fabric. I accept it and I'm trying to understand it because I don't come from that myself, but it's quite amazing. I learned that from talking to a great Mandinka artist, Sona Jabati. I just come back from Hungary with her today. And she was telling me about this. There's all these words. There are many words that they don't use that we single out because that's the interconnectedness of Africa.
Yeah.
That things aren't separated like how we analyze things.
I love the idea of contribution. In fact, we played Sona at the beginning of the show. We opened the show today with Sona. I think the idea of contribution, I love that. That means there's a responsibility to what you do. And it's recognised, it's not just about the self, you know, there's responsibility to everybody else in terms of what we do as a society.
Absolutely. And it also means that with that responsibility, recognised responsibility is value. You're valued as a musician. I met musicians in different parts of Africa who don't necessarily earn money, but they do different events, and before you know it, they have a house, then they have a car, then they're just granted these commodities, if you will, because the kind of things that you'd spend your money on anyway, politicians will just give them.
Doesn't that make them beholden to the politician then?
Not really. It's a case of you perform. If they like you, you're going to do what you do anyway. It's not open to everyone, but I have met some musicians who have been in that position because politicians or people from the royal courts just love these artists.
Right.
And they see the value that they create and the influence that they impart in their society.
Okay, let's take a break, Derek. And when we get back, let's talk about the griot tradition. But first, here is Salif Keita.
Temporal talvez também não. na brandura e calmaria. Nós já morte bem descansado, disse luta e resistência, para sobreviver nesta tormenta. Na brandura e calmaria, nós já morte bem descansado, disse luta e resistência, para sobreviver nesta tormenta.
That was Salif Keita featuring Cesaria Evora. Derek, I'd really like you to say something about this person we just heard, because it really does introduce the topic we're about to talk about, which is that of the griot culture in Africa. What can you tell us about Salif Keita and also about the griot tradition in general?
Well, first of all, Salif, for me, is one of my favourites of any kind of musician. He's a very underrated guitar player because everybody knows about his singing. Wonderful musician. Salif is not actually a griot, though. The families of griots in West Africa are chosen people, really, that were responsible for looking after the music traditions and archiving cultures across many different countries across West Africa. Salif was actually born into a noble family, so he wasn't really supposed to play music.
Can you tell me the significance of that? Because I know, like, for example, Sona Jabate, she's also a griot and one of the first female griots. You're born to be a griot. Tell us a bit about that.
Okay, well, first of all, Sona's not one of the first female griots. She's the first female griot kora player, and the kora was assigned to the men. Yeah, it's worth explaining, though, that griot, that's a French word, and the female version of that is the griot. But in traditional societies around Africa, there's various versions of the word Jali or Jelly, that's the name, or Jelly Musa for the female.
So griot is for men then, is that what you're saying?
Griot, G-R-I-O-T, is the male version of what we are talking about. G-R-I-O-T-T-E is the female version. These are French words, though. Having said that, they use the word griot for everybody, like they use the word actor now for male and female. So it still is the general word, or the word man, for mankind, for everybody else. So it's used like that, but really correctly, Sona is a griot or a Jeli Musa.
Fantastic, thank you.
Or Jeli Musa. In African society, everybody has a place, and often you are born into a family that were shipbuilders, or they may have been blacksmiths, or they may have been oral historians, because also griots are also oral historians, not just musicians. They're like the libraries of a society as well. And you were charged with looking after those traditions, and that could last several hundred years.
Now, how long has that tradition been going?
It's difficult to say. I know certainly in the culture of the Mandinka, it's at least 700 years.
And Mandinka is kind of based on what, the west coast of Africa, is that correct?
It crosses several countries in west coast of Africa, mostly in Mali, Guinea, Senegal, and Gambia. These are nomadic people, so we have to remember that these traditions moved around, especially any peoples that were close to deserts, often moved around, so the traditions spread in many different places.
Didn't it spread also because essential to survival almost, to have these families who were dedicated to carrying the news and to heralding what was going to come next?
They actually, originally, a lot of griots were the original hunters and people who fed the villages. They weren't necessarily musicians as we understand them now. It's certainly not the musical griots. They created music for the spirit. They created music for the spirits in the forest, for the creator, and then brought back their kill and various other services they may be doing for a particular society. There's no aspect of music in the early days, several hundred years ago, that was performance-based for the public, as it were. You served as you were the connection between the spirit world in many ways and the corporate world, if you like.
Because I think you said to me before that the music that those early hunters were not actually heard by the villagers originally.
Yeah, it was forbidden for regular people to hear their songs and to hear their performances. If they were to hunt an animal, they would like to appease their concept of God and the spirit of the animal before they would bring it to the villages and eat it. To put an equilibrium in a way. Rather than if you take a life, then you have to be thankful for the life that you've taken. And the songs that they would perform and sing wouldn't necessarily come back to the village. It was that connection between that spirit world and our regular world. They fit in between that to a great extent.
That's quite interesting because they took a job for life and other people weren't allowed to go into that profession, were they? It was really just those families. There were, what, five families?
In West Africa, yeah. There tend to be five principal families. It wasn't so much a job for life, it was like a responsibility for life.
Right.
You were responsible and you took that whether you liked it or not. We can demand jobs anyhow we want, but you were born into this and you were expected to carry on the traditions.
It kind of brings us back to Slave Cater again, because I think you said that he was not actually, he had problems with this.
He was born into a noble caste, so he wasn't actually supposed to create music, wasn't supposed to perform music. So his responsibility was more aristocratic. Then everybody's got their caste. It doesn't mean they're higher or lower. You have a caste of people, for instance, who are religious people. Often you find people with the name Touré, T-O-U-R-E, with an accent on the E. They're part of the religious caste, for instance, or the Kriates, who were the musical caste. It wasn't a higher or lower situation. Everybody had their responsibility, and it was an inherited responsibility to take charge of.
In fact, that brings us nicely into the next person I'd like to play, because that's Ali Faka Touré. Tell us a bit about him.
Well, he had a similar problem, because again, he was a nobleman, and until the day he died, he saw himself as the mayor of his town, he saw himself as a farmer, he saw himself as many different, what we might call professional people, that served his community first. And then he was a musician and an artist a few months of the year. Even he won a Grammy and all kinds of stuff, but he still saw his role as the traditional one.
Right, that's interesting.
First.
Well, let's listen to Ali Faka Touré with The River, and we'll be back again to say goodbye. Here is Ali Faka Touré with The River.
Hey,
We've come to the end of the show. An hour, in fact, less than an hour, is just not enough for such a big subject. Derek, I want to thank you so much for being here today. This is our debut show, and I'm really delighted that I'm doing this with you. Now, you have such a special way of being able to impart knowledge. Tell us a bit about your work as an educator.
In 30 years now, I've been teaching aspects of the cultural industries in universities and colleges and different institutions. And my focus is always on human behavior first, and then I feed that through whatever subject I'm talking about. We're talking about music today and culture and history, and that's my passion. I'd just like to say I think it's really important work that you're doing here with Afrocaba Radio, because it's a gateway to this whole world that a lot of people don't really know much about.
Yeah.
The exotic thing over there is something that is really a part of all of our lives. So it's good to be a part of this.
Thank you. I'm really glad to be able to bring some of the exciting artists that we know and introduce them here.
Yeah, it's a fantastic opportunity.
Derek, you will be a regular contributor on the show. Mm-hmm. I value your knowledge and your experience. But thank you again. Thank you for staying up. I know we were on a telephone line, yeah. So it's not always very clear.
Not a problem. Thank you anyway.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I look forward to speaking to you again very soon.
The next time.
Next time. Bye.
You are listening to Afrikaba Radio on WKDW 97.5 FM. Real community radio located in Northport, Florida.
Here is HKB Finn with There's Always Time. Derek Johnson on acoustic guitar.
There's a time for tax, death, and a time for birth. There's a time to acknowledge what's your worth. And there's time for healing, joy, and time for hurt. There's a time to recollect, invest in intellectual pursuits. You're cute, but you still need to check how time can be spent. Time is like bread for all the time used. There's no recompense, it'll make sense when sufficient time has passed. Cause there's time to talk trash and time to blast. And there's time to seek love and time to laugh. And there's time to find work and time to bask in the sunshine of time spent trying to ask the right questions. And still there's time to fast and to strengthen the spirit against the stones they cast, and to strengthen your mind so you won't come lost. And there's time. There's always time. Time to start rocking, a time to stop knocking all your friends and foes and even